Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
Good morning, Denver. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host.
I'm getting bug driving up and down the same old strip. I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip.
And you're listening to the music of the Beach Boys provided by Mark Libby.
My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around.
Boys, music makes me happy. Thank you, Lori, for that today. Thank you, Mark, for recommending the Beach Boys. And thank you, Keith O'Neill, our guest today. Keith, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Glad you're here. Our show exists because we introduce you listeners to people that we think are impacting this community, this nation, this world for Jesus Christ. Before we get to Keith and his testimony today and what he's doing with his life, I want to talk a little bit about the book Grace Behind Bars. My wife, Gary, and I wrote this book, and it was released March 1st. It talks about our lives 25 years ago when I went through a very difficult prison experience, and yet the book mostly talks about the redemptive power of Christ. And how Ashley and Andy and Gary, my wife and two kids, and I just made our journey a God deal, as painful as it was. We said, if it's a God deal, it'll be a good deal, and it sure turned out to be a good deal. And we didn't write the book to sell it. We really just wrote it to encourage people that are going through trouble. So anybody you know is having some trouble of any kind, they might benefit from picking up a copy of Grace Behind Bars. And you can get it at Barnes & Noble, Hobby Lobby, or just Amazon if you want a copy. And let us know by writing a review for us, if you would, what you think of the book. And I hope you're blessed by it. It was painful to revisit the hard parts of that experience, but joyful to see what it's doing in the lives of people now that are taking the time to read it. So thanks for picking up a copy of Grace Behind Bars if you can. So our guest today is a part of Manna Worldwide, Keith O'Neill. I first want to talk about your life, though. Where were you born and raised?
Well, that's a complicated answer for me. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, but was raised in
Fort Worth, Dallas, and Houston.
Yeah,
down to San Antone.
That's
what's the name of the song?
That's an old one. I don't know.
It's a little old for you.
Yeah, it is.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
Yeah, just missed it by 30 years. Sorry. Fort Worth, Texas.
I'm glad
you got out. I got out of Oklahoma City.
I tell you, man, Fort Worth's a hot place, but an amazing city. Amazing city these days.
I like it. I like Colonial Country Club.
Yeah. I know exactly Hogan's what you're
Alley.
Talking of, yeah.
Isn't that where Ben Hogan won four or five times?
Yeah. Yeah, so then I grew up in Japan. And in the Philippines, and actually graduated high school in the Philippines. So, and
Dad was a missionary or something.
He was a missionary. That's right. Yeah, in both those places, before going to college in Missouri. So, sort of a transplant all over. And then my wife's from right here in Denver. So.
When did you arrive in Denver?
Oh gosh, it's been 15 years ago, something like that. Yeah. So, lived here for about 7 or 8 years, and then went to seminary for 3 years, and then made my way back to Denver. So
Denver Seminary, or went?
No, I went to Southwestern in Fort Worth. That's why I went back down to Fort Worth for 3 years.
All right.
Yeah.
So, at what point, even though your folks were missionaries and maybe nudging you in that direction, at what point did you make a decision to receive Christ?
You know, it's interesting. My folks were unique in that they wanted it to be about our faith and not about theirs, and so they never pushed. You know, so, but what was interesting, I grew up around, you know, Christian culture. And when I was 5 years old, I can remember standing on the front of my dad's car and asking if I could become a Christian. And he thought,
what were you doing on the car?
Well, he was working on something. Oh. He was working.
Wasn't moving.
No, it wasn't moving at the time. And so, you know, we're digging through the car and I'm watching him work on it. And it's something that impressed me at a young age. And so he told me no. And he said, let's talk about it later. And I think the idea was sort of that, you know, this is a young kid. This is probably not really what he wants now. He's just being, you know, indoctrinated. And yet it was something on my heart. And so I did come back to him later and said, I, you know, really do want to make this decision. So even as a, you know, late five, early 6 year old, gave my life to Christ. And so that was sort of the beginning of my faith journey.
So if that dialogue's foreign to you, the third chapter of the book of John says, out of the mouth of God, we have to be born again, which means we make a decision. We have a physical birth, but you make a decision to have a spiritual birth by choosing to receive Christ and the things that he said in the scripture as your own personal savior. And then beyond that, we grow up as Christians, and hopefully he becomes the Lord of your life as well. And that happened to you, and you went back to seminary and got some training and kept progressing.
I tell you, it was a long journey. I think there is something about making that decision to follow Christ, but then the working out of your faith, for me, I can speak, is that's a difficult, long road, and a lot of questions that come into your mind and experiences that shape your life. And so I think really beginning to own and walk in who I am in Christ is something that's takes decades, and maybe some people would say a lifetime. And so I think I'm still learning what it means to be a Christian, and still learning what it means to act out my faith, as opposed to just having a head knowledge and having something actually changed inside of me.
Well, I met Christ when I was 18 and when I was 42 that year, tough year, as I talked about in this book. But I learned more lessons that year as to what needed to be changed in me than any year in my life. So you're right. It's a never ending process.
Right. Yeah. I tell you, I grew up around a lot of people that, you know, they were slinging Bibles, you know, they were proselytizing or preaching on the corner, street corners. And so I saw that type of faith, and there wasn't a whole lot appealing about that. And over the years, being involved in different ministries and in business, I worked in international business for 9 years with a telecom company, and just seeing that there can be a difference between knowing something and experiencing it in your heart. So I joined this group called Manna Worldwide, and it was, they weren't just out there to convert the poor people around the world. They weren't reaching out to change somebody. They were reaching out and making a difference because they themselves had been changed. Mm. And that floored me. That shocked me and changed my life. And so, yes, I became a Christian when I was 5, but to actually start living it and experiencing it really happened even later in life.
And how long have you been with Manna Worldwide?
I've been for 12 years now.
12 years. Yeah. And how long has it been since you received Shane Conant into your life?
Shane Conant, good friend. It's been probably 5 or 6 years now, maybe a little bit longer.
That's the correct order, by the way. Christ first, then Shane. Receive Shane.
He'll be happy to hear that.
Shane and Jane Conant are dear friends of ours and wonderful people. And Shane is one of the most positive energy souls I've ever met. So I love his laugh and his joy and his energy. Don't you?
I do. I do. They are an amazing family. Got kids leaving the nest now too. So I got one just graduating high school.
They do?
They do. Miley is graduating.
Are you sure?
Oh, wait, no, it's 1 year. I'm sorry. We've been discussing prom and then the fear of graduation, so.
Okay, because I was thinking, man, I need to get some money together for her if I miss that graduation gift. Great family, the Conants. And I know you all have a project. We'll talk about that that you're working on together in a little bit. But first, tell me that about Manna Worldwide manages 161 projects in 41 countries. Give me the background on that.
Gosh, so that
what kind of projects?
Yeah, so orphanages and nutrition centers. And so right now we have 19 orphanages spread around the world. Just finished one in Guatemala, and we have them in Kenya and Mongolia. And so we have 19 orphanages, and then we have nutrition centers where we feed kids that otherwise would have a meal a day. So we feed them all over the world, and then we actually work here in the United States too with backpack programs. So going into public schools and providing food for kids that are on food stamps and on the free lunches.
Richard Beach, our dear friend, passed away, I think, 6-7 years ago this October. But for 10 years, he and I ran, with the help of others around town, an inner-city camp called The Sky's the Limit. And we had half a dozen inner-city churches that would bus kids to us at campsite. We had camps here, Kansas City and East St. Louis. And we discovered the hard way, just how stupid, uninformed we were, just dumb white suburbanites is what I would call myself. But we discovered how hungry these kids are, because it took a little while to notice. Mm-hmm. In the mornings, it's like they weren't coming off a meal in the evening or all the snacks we have before we go to bed or breakfast in the morning. They were coming to camp with nothing. So the first thing Richard started doing was feeding them, even if it was graham crackers and orange juice. He was feeding them something to get the day started. But that's some of this, what you're facing worldwide with these nutrition centers, I bet, is without you, what would these kids do?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. What's really interesting is one of our directors, our Africa director actually, was speaking at a church and talking about the need we do face with kids that would normally have one meal a day. And after he got done talking, a local school teacher came up and said, we have these problems here in the U.S. also. And so she began to educate us on kids that get a free lunch every day while they're at school. And then they go home for the weekend, then they come back on Monday morning and they can't focus. They're exhausted until they get their free lunch again on Monday. And so that began opening our eyes to saying, hey, we need to do more right here in our own backyard also, making sure we care for these kids. And so we do that through a lot of churches around the U.S.
Mm. And I want to talk about what you and Shane are doing together and when's that coming up and how can people get involved and help?
Oh, thanks for asking. It's 4 years ago now, began to have this dream of saying, I was actually sitting in West Africa with one of our directors, and we were just talking about how do you make a difference in the world? And everybody tells you, well, go do a golf tournament or go do a holy gala, some event.
I wouldn't have told you that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
There's a Christian golf tour you can go on in Denver all summer long if you want to, about once a week.
But right, yeah. And so, none of that really struck a chord with me, but what I do love to do is I love to bike. I love to ride road bikes and mountain bikes, and so begin to wonder, can you actually use something God gave you, a gift, to make a difference in the world? And so we set out on this journey to do a fundraising event where we would ride our bikes from Canada or from California to New Jersey. We did this 4 years ago and said,
how far is
that's 3,500 miles.
Oh my.
And it took us 6-7 weeks. And we thought if we could raise $40,000 to help an orphanage, it would be worthwhile. And what ended up happening was truly God's hand moving. We ended up raising $185,000.
She
built a brand new orphanage in Kenya and funded one in Mongolia and in Ukraine for a year.
And put 30 grand each in your pocket.
Yeah, that's right. Well, here's the crazy thing. I found a group of guys, and I'm getting to what we're doing this time around, but I found a group of guys that said, hey, we will foot our own bill. So 100% of everything that is raised goes directly to MANA. And so we did. We did that, and we did it 4 years ago, and then we said, got done, and after licking our wounds said, never again. But here we are 4 years later, and God has still shown us a way that we can use what we're good at to make a difference. And so we are setting out to ride the Continental Divide on mountain bikes from Canada to Mexico starting June the 20th. And so that's 2,700 miles all on dirt and climbing mountains, because it goes up and down 200,000 feet of climbing. So that's the equivalent of going up Mount Everest approximately seven times. So that is our new endeavor.
And how many will be going on this?
So we have three of us that are doing the full ride, and then multiple people joining along the way. So Shane is one of those.
Full rider?
Shane is going to be going, I believe, to the northern Colorado border. So he's going to be spending roughly 3-4 weeks with us.
No kidding. Does your wife know this yet?
Yeah, we're trying to keep that a secret until now.
Jane, your husband's lost his marbles. But we already knew he had lost a few, but yeah. That is quite a commitment. And we hope to raise how much on this?
Gosh, our goal, we'd love to see $200,000 is what we're trying to raise. And what we're trying to do is open a brand new orphanage in the Philippines, which is near and dear to my heart because that's where I grew up. And then we're also going to be funding an orphanage in Ukraine and the backpack programs here in the U.S.
And once you're there and with an orphanage set up, you have no trouble finding the kids that need the help.
Oh, my goodness. It's quite the opposite. So you have to be selective of who you can bring in and how many you can care for. You know, I think it's Andy Stanley. He said, you do for one what you wish you could do for all. Mm. So you make what you do count. And so that's our goal with these orphanages is we care for these kids all the way through college and making sure they're set up and they are able to care for their future families.
Our guest today is Keith O'Neill, who's with MANA Worldwide. You're listening to him share stories about some of the orphanages they've built around the world and a crazy fundraising idea of three riders riding the whole ride from Canada to Mexico, 2,700 miles, starting on June 20th, and hoping to tell the story afterwards with about $200,000 raised for their ministry. How can people donate?
So you could get involved. There's two ways. We would love for you to just go to our website at manaworldwide.com/bike. And you can find out more about this biking event, and you could donate to our event, which would be wonderful. And then the second way you could get involved is we're looking for people to, we're calling this the 40-day challenge. And this is our challenge for our lives, and it's something we enjoy doing. We love it. It gives us life doing this, makes us better bikers and enjoy being outside. And then it also provides an opportunity to make a difference for children. And so we're asking people, would you take your own 40-day challenge? So don't be like me. You don't have to bike to make a difference in the world. If you like making quilts, why don't you use that gift for the kingdom? If you like writing poetry, why not use that and donate money for that? Or if you're a runner, whatever it is, what is it in your life that you would like to focus on for 40 days to make a difference? You know, one of the writers, his mom, she's in her 80s. And she sent the most heartwarming text to us. We were in meetings a few weeks ago, and she said, I don't have a lot of money to give. She said, but I can commit to praying for you every day, and I'm going to tell one new person every day about what you're doing so that we can find more people that want to make a difference.
Mm, that's great. Give what you can, not what you can't. Yet money helps, so go to... manaworldwide.com/bike.
That's it. And then you can follow us on, we have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page with MANA Worldwide Challenge. Or I'm sorry, the Ride the Divide Challenge. And there's some fun videos out there. So if you can find us on YouTube, you'll get a kick out of it. We're actually going to be doing videos every day. So we have a young guy that is a fantastic videographer going with us the whole trip. So we'll be posting new videos, and if you sign up for your own challenge, you'll get an email a day with those new videos to just encourage you to stick with it, just like us.
So are you looking for any more riders? Are you set on the team that's going to ride?
I think we're pretty set on riders. If you want to join us, we'll be in Silverthorne July the 15th. We're going to have an event in Silverthorne, and so we are going to have a day where people can ride from Silverthorne up to... up around Dillon Lake and towards Breckenridge. And so if you're interested in that kind of riding, we'd love to have you come and join us and join our event. And gosh, if you're in shape at this point to join us in 3 weeks from now, come on, let's go.
Because it took you how long to get in shape?
Well, it's years of back-to-back effort, you know, to build up the ability to do this type of endurance work. And over the last 3 or 4 months, Shane and I have been really hitting it hard, trying to spend an hour or two on the bike every day and long rides on the weekend to try to get ready for this.
My, oh my. So how many miles a day do you average on a trip like this?
We're going to do 80 miles a day is the goal, 70 to 80 miles a day. And so starting out in bear country in Banff, Canada, you are no longer top of the food chain. So you got to be careful with wildlife. And then there's a lot of high mountain passes to go over, especially up in Canada and in Montana. So something called post-holing, where you can't bike anymore because of snow over a pass. And so you get off and you make post holes with your legs as you traipse through the snow and push your bike over the passes. So that's what's looking forward, what we're looking forward to in the middle of June.
So taking something that could be just boring and painful, fundraising effort, and turn it into something exciting, creative, challenging, requires discipline, and allowing others to just come alongside through all the different ways you mentioned and support you all. So, wow. Man of Worldwide's behind this all the way. They're not worried about losing one of their good guys and you, Keith.
Well, I tell you, it's funny because the first time I pitched this idea was probably 5, maybe almost 6 years ago. And the answer was no. They said, you can't be gone for that long and people aren't going to get excited about this and get behind it. And then by the time we got done and God did what he did, and I can't explain it. I can't explain how it was so successful last time. So it just points me to saying, hey, it's not me. It's got to be the creator that is making this stuff happen, and I'm just being obedient. And I tell you, we got done with that first ride, and my boss was there, and we were in New Jersey dipping our front tires in the Atlantic Ocean. And he said, okay, so when's the next one?
He did?
Yeah, well, tell you, we helped a lot of kids as a result of that. And so,
no kidding. You helped a lot of kids. And I love what you all do. 161 projects, 41 countries, nutrition centers, orphanages. Now, there's no hope for these orphans to get placed with a family. They just kind of stay there, you say, through college?
Well, that's the beauty of it. We do try to place them with families. In fact, we've placed 109 kids out of our Mongolian orphanage with families. And so that's always our goal, is to find good Christian families to place the kids with. And we always work through the government and the court system. So we do everything above board, and the courts love us as a result of that. And so they send kids to us, and then they help us find good homes to put the kids in. And so I tell you, one of the other things that has really drawn me to Manna in the first place was Manna has an overhead of less than 10%. And so you'd be hard-pressed to find organizations out there that can match that sort of amount of money that's given to the amount of money that actually gets to a child. And so it drew me in initially, and so now I continue to beat that drum. Because I think that's a wonderful thing to say, hey, look, there's an organization out there which is really trying to be as honest and ethical as possible to make sure that the money that anybody contributes actually goes where it's supposed to go, which I guess that translates even to this bike ride, that we are footing our own bill. So anybody that donates, it's not going towards making this thing happen. So we're really trying to make sure we honor the process and that we see as many kids saved as possible.
Congratulations in advance for what you're doing. Your wife's happy?
Well, I tell you, that's a tough road, man. I tell you, it's a sacrifice, right? It's a sacrifice for my wife and I've got three boys.
Tell me their names.
Tobin, Colin, and Silas.
And your wife?
And Christine.
Christine, we're going to be praying for y'all.
Thank you.
He doesn't look nuts to me. I think he's of sound mind and body and doing a good thing here. So sounds like a God deal.
I sure hope it is. And that's our intention is to continue to point to him. And That's the only way these kind of things happen, is if enough of us band together and say, you know what, let's get out of the way and let's watch God work. So I'll be faithful, and I'll let my actions show that there is a deeper faith driving them. And then it's amazing to see what God can do. Absolutely amazing.
Have you read In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day by Mark Batterson?
I haven't, no.
Go read it. You'll be excited.
I'm going to write it down.
He's a pastor in Washington, D.C. He's written a lot of really fun, interesting books. But this one is about risk-taking, which you're doing. So congratulations to you on that. And you listeners, you don't have to get on your bikes. I'm not going to. But it is interesting that opportunities come along for us where we can get very involved in something like this just by paying attention just here for a few minutes to the website, manaworldwide.com/bike, learning about how this bike ride is going to generate money that will create a life for these orphans in the Philippines. And it's a blessing to see how all these different merging streams could come together and benefit kids for a long, long time. So if you can just think about manaworldwide.com/bike and writing a check, we would appreciate it. They need the support. It's being, as Keith said, really stretched in a great way, in that 90% of what you give will go straight to the kids, only 10% overhead. That's almost unheard of, I can guarantee you, in the charitable world. So please jump in and help if you can. And we thank you for being with us today on You Get the Blessing. Keith, you've been a wonderful guest.
Well, thank you, sir. It's my pleasure to be here.
And we're going to pray real quick. Lord, bless Keith and the other riders on this bike ride from Canada to Mexico. Keep them safe. Keep them energized. And we pray that the results would come in terms of the financial support for these kids that so desperately need it. We pray in your name, amen. See you next week on You Get the Blessing. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
I get around, yeah, get around, round, round. I get around. I get around.